You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
Hello, you're listening to The Christian Commute for Tuesday, May 14th. And if the audio sounds any better, you can thank Jeff from Northwest Georgia. And if it sounds worse, you can blame Jeff from Northwest Georgia, because Jeff sent me today via Amazon a brand new headset. And it's pretty nice. It goes over my head. It's like a real headset. I usually record using earbuds, mic'd earbuds, but this is a headset with a microphone that's right by my mouth. So Jeff and I hope that this headset can overcome the air conditioner sound. So I'm going to start leaving this headset here in Studio B. I'm not going to take it with me to Studio A because I don't lock Studio A. So someone might take it. Why don't I lock Studio A? Because the clicker doesn't work. And the key, what do you even call that thing? The keyhole on the driver's side doesn't work. So I generally just don't keep anything of value in Studio A. But here in Studio B, I lock it up. And I'm going to keep this nice headset in there. I'm looking at the little picture on my phone of the sound waves on my recording program. And they look pretty big. They look good. So, Jeff, thank you. The whole Christian Commute audience will probably thank you. Look at Jeff contributing. That's what's great about small podcasts like this. When you're listening to it on your drive and you're just like, oh, that audio is terrible. And instead of having to call into some big corporation, just be like, I'm sending you a microphone. Of course, if this podcast was done by some big corporation, the audio quality would be good and there'd be editing and whatnot. I had to edit the show yesterday as far as putting new audio in. I love the Driving with Miss Beth theme. It's really just from the movie Driving with Miss Daisy. I hope my younger audience members know what that is. Anyway, that's enough talk. Too much talk. Let's get to today's show. Today's show topic is Baptist Faith and Message, Article 3, Part 4. And after this, I'm done with the Doctrine of Man. And next, we will move on to the Doctrine of Salvation. I'm not saying I'm going to do that show subject tomorrow. I'm saying that's next in this series. I also want to tell you guys right now, it's Tuesday, that I took the day off Friday. So there's this Friday I have the day off. Last Thursday I took the day off. Last Monday I was sick. And then the Friday before that was Good Friday. So that's four-day work weeks in a row, which is great for me. It's easy living, but it's sad for you because there's only four Christian commutes. So don't expect a Christian commute on Friday. My son is having his preschool graduation, and then I'm going to go over and let the inspector into my rental house because I sold it, or I am trying to sell it. Okay, what next? I got a question in the inbox about Roman Catholic soteriology. And as always, we have the Bible chapter review. And just pre-warning, I'm on the way to a T-ball game, so I'm hungry. T-ball game's at 6. I might stop in the middle of the show topic and order some food. All right, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Remember yesterday, in verse 8, we were talking about all things are subject to Jesus, and we don't see that yet because he's yet to come into his kingdom. All right, what we saw was Jesus humbled as a man. So that's what this is getting at. But, or verse 9, but we do not see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, because he came as a man, lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. That's why we don't see Jesus, because he died on the cross, then resurrected and ascended to the Father. So that, here's why, by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. So Jesus died and was resurrected for everyone, for the race of man. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, So all things are for Jesus. It was fitting for him for whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, so in bringing the elect into the family of God, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. So Jesus is the author of our salvation. You probably hear this phrase a lot, talking about Jesus, referring to him as the author and perfecter of our salvation. What does that mean? We get the salvation through Jesus, and it's made complete in Jesus. So Jesus is the author, the person who's doing it, and the perfecter, the person who's completing it. Through suffering, through the suffering on the cross, Jesus came and suffered for us, tasting death for us, taking the punishment for us. That's why we don't see all things subjected under his feet right now, because he came as a man lower than the angels for a little while to do this task. Now he is he's brought this salvation through sufferings, and he's ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he will come back. That is our eschatological hope. And we'll continue along the lines of this thought in verse 11, Lord willing, tomorrow. This question comes from Stephanie in, where's she at? She's in Dallas, I think. Stephanie from Dallas, Georgia. All right. How does a Roman Catholic reconcile Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, with his soteriology of salvation? So how does a Roman Catholic reconcile that we're saved by grace through faith, and this not of works, lest anyone should boast, with their theology of salvation, or with the Roman Catholic theology of salvation, which involves works? That is synergistic. And Stephanie made a good point. She says you might not be able to answer this question because you're not a Roman Catholic. You're right. I don't know how they do it because I'm not them. So a good suggestion, if you know a Roman Catholic, is to answer this question. And this is a clever little way of evangelism. Because well, am I doing apologetics? Am I doing evangelism? Or am I just talking to my friend? So if you have a Roman Catholic acquaintance, friend, family member, whatever, and you ask them, what do you believe? People always appreciate being asked, what do you believe, rather than you assuming what they believe based on the published dogma. Because the published dogma of, say, the Mormon Church or the Roman Catholic Church may be the official church position, but there are people in the church who either don't know that, they're just ignorant Jack Catholics, or they don't believe it, and they somehow, through some cognitive dissonance, remain in that faith. Maybe they're postmodernists, and they can deal with conflicting beliefs. So it's always good to ask. So what you would do is, for your Roman Catholic friend, you ask him this question, you say, hey, this is what I believe. In fact, here's the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. Here's what my denomination or the people who believe, even if you're not a Baptist, if you're a Presbyterian, you can use the Westminster. Just use your confession of faith, your Protestant confession of faith. And say, here's what I believe, that we're saved through the grace of God by faith and not of works. And we don't have to do anything. We don't have to go to the priest and confess our sins and do some kind of penance. We don't have to receive some kind of sacrament. When we baptize somebody, that's just a show. And not a show in a bad way. It's a representative. It's a public profession, I should say. But it's to say something. It's to send a message. Or when we take communion, it's a memorial. It doesn't give any grace. So we see this here, that we're not saved by works, nothing we're doing. And I believe I'm saved because I've repented of my sins and placed my faith in Jesus Christ. And I was only able to do that by the grace of God. And I have faith in him. All right. So how do you think you're saved? Because it's my understanding that the Catholic Church, the salvation comes through these works that you do, these works where the church gives you grace. How is it that you reconcile that system with this biblical statement. All right? That's what you'd ask. And then be ready for the Catholic mindset. Because Stephanie, me, and you, we're Baptists, we're of the mindset where we have to save people. And we know God does the saving. But we're supposed to evangelize people. That's why we're, quote-unquote, evangelicals. That's different from a Catholic. And we try to share the gospel and share the good news. The Roman Catholic mindset isn't like that. When's the last time a Roman Catholic evangelized you? When's the last time you were ever walking around and somebody knocked on your, or somebody, you're walking around, somebody handed you a gospel tract and it was Roman Catholic? Or somebody knocked on your door and invited you to Roman Catholic Church and shared the gospel with you? When's the last time you ever saw a street preacher on the megaphone saying, "Get saved, heathen," and it was a Roman Catholic? Think about that. They're not evangelistic. They don't have a get saved mindset. We do. We think about how are we saved. They don't. Because the church just tells them, you're saved because you're a member of the Roman Catholic Church and you're getting all this stuff from us. So even if you die, you'll go to purgatory and eventually your purgatory debt will be worked off like Hindu moksha. They don't say it, but that's really like what it is. And then you go to heaven once you're purified. They don't think in our categories, Stephanie. So be prepared for that. So when you ask, how does a Roman Catholic reconcile that? They're not thinking in that category. Because they're lost, probably. Probably why they don't think in that category. So two, they might say something like, we are saved by grace. You talk a Roman Catholic, you say by grace, they'll say yes. And the grace comes, they'll say, from the Roman Catholic Church, which has license to dispense the sacraments. Think of like opening a Chick-fil-A. Like the name of the guy who owns the Chick-fil-A in Cartersville is Glenn Jordan. Nobody else can come into town and operate a Chick-fil-A but him, because he's got the license in Cartersville. It's the same way with the Roman Catholic Church. It's like God has franchised salvation to the magisterium of the Roman Catholic Church. So God saves by grace, and the only people who can give out God's grace, because grace is a gift, is the Roman Catholic clergy people, the magisterium, the priests. They're like the franchisees of God. So that's how they see it. So the Roman Catholic thinks he's getting grace from the church. And he doesn't think he's doing works. And he'll say, well, faith without works is dead. So I'm proving my faith by doing these works from which I receive grace. I think that's what they'll say. That's why Martin Luther, I think, did not like the book of James. He called it an epistle of straw or something like that. He did not like the book of James because Martin Luther was all about grace and nothing about law and works. He hated works because all those works had been put on him. And he had a hard time reconciling James, faith without works is dead, with the Pauline theology. It's not different. He just had a hard time doing his hermeneutics and understanding it with the grace-based salvation of the rest of the New Testament. He couldn't see grace-based salvation in James. It's there. He just couldn't understand it. And that's why he hated the book of James. So what's the Catholic going to do? The same thing they do to Martin Luther, take you right to the book of James, if he knows his Bible. I mean, you know how, as Baptists, we know John 3:16? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory and glory of God. I'm sorry, that's Romans 3:23. How embarrassing. We all know Romans 3:23 too, right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we know John 3:16 too. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And we know Ephesians 2:8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of works, lest anyone should boast. We know these. We can spout them off. Why? Because when we're trying to share the gospel with people, we say, "This is God. Jesus died for you." John 3:16. You're a sinner. Romans 3:23. And you can't be a good person and save yourself. Ephesians 2:8. 9th and 10. We just know them. That's our spiel. They had a different spiel. They have the James spiel. Faith without works is dead. That's their spiel. So what you have to make that Catholic realize is, one, the Catholic Church is not the franchisee of God's grace. The Pope is not the vicar of Christ. That's why popery is so wicked. Because you can't. It's hard to share the gospel and save people because their soteriology is tied up in the magisterium and popery. All right, that's why the Pope can't be an okay guy. That's why every single Catholic priest is a wolf, every one of them. I don't care how many orphans they feed, they're a wolf. because they're sending those orphans to hell with a full belly. And they, you know, also might touch the orphans, some of them. Most of them don't. Only some of them do. And then all of them get covered up, right? Rabbit trail. So they think that they're getting this grace from the Catholic Church, and you have to separate the grace from the Catholic Church. And once you do that, where are their works? Where are the sacraments? Where's the confession? Where's the baptism? Where's the communion? Where even marriage is a sacrament. Well, unction is a sacrament. You take away all the power for them to, for some franchisee to give them grace, and they have to realize this can only come straight from God, and there's nothing I can do to actualize it or work it or get it, because grace is a gift. So have the Roman Catholic explain the sacramental system to you. So if I can answer your question, Stephanie, I'm not a Roman Catholic. I think they reconcile it by saying they are saved by grace, which they get from the Roman Catholic Church, from the Magisterium. And, you know, Jesus made it possible by dying on the cross to get this grace. And they are working with God. It's faith and works. I think they'd say they're saved through faith, and faith without works is dead. So you have to have faith and works. And then the grace, they would say, is separate from the faith and works, I think. So you're saved by grace through faith, and they'd say works are concurrent and go commensurate. You can't have one without the other. So that's, yeah, I am saved by grace through faith, and the faith involves works. And it's not of works, it's the grace. So the faith and works go together, and we get the grace from the Catholic Church. I think that's what they'd say, if they know their Catholicism. And you're going to run into different Catholics. Some of them are real easy to evangelize because they're jack Catholics. They never read the Bible. They're like, oh, holy smokes, the Bible says this, the church is wrong. And some of them are like dying in the wool, understand Catholicism, and they'll school you on Catholicism because they'll say, no, that's what you think we believe. We really believe this, blah, blah, blah. You don't understand. So you'll run the spectrum. Always be ready to give a hope for a defense for the hope that is within you, by the way. If you meet a Catholic who can't do it, who can't explain it, quote 1 Peter 3:15 to them. Say, you can't explain your hope. I can. Let me explain it to you. Do you have this hope? Of course not. You're dead in sin in the Roman Catholic Church. Moving on. Thank you, Stephanie, for writing in. Stephanie wrote in to SethDunn88@gmail.com, and you can too. That's the Christian Commute inbox. Send your questions about theology and apologetics to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. And I'm running out of them, by the way. I'm down to just a couple. So if you sent yours a long time ago, I'm getting to it. You can also dial 470-315-0875. Just like Daryl from Ohio does. Daryl actually sent me an email the other day. So that's the roadside assistance line, 475-315-0875. And here I am coming up on Cartersville, making great time. My wife is flirting with not getting any dinner. So that's that. I'm sorry. My wife's not going to get any dinner. She did not text me, and I'm going to stop and get some food. So I'm getting close to home, but it's time to do the show topic. We're finishing up Baptist Faith and Message, Article 3, Man. We're in Part 4, not of the article, but of this analysis of the article. So only the grace of God can bring man into the holy fellowship of God. We're just talking about that. How do you come into fellowship with God? You can't do it. There's nothing you can do. Only the grace of God can do it. So the grace of God, one, enables you as a man, or enables man, because this is speaking generally of mankind. The grace of God enables man to enter the holy fellowship of God. So man is not in fellowship with God, because God is holy and man's a sinner. And the grace of God allows man to be reconciled to God, to enter into that fellowship. What kind of fellowship is it? Holy fellowship. A set-apart fellowship that only the children of God have. Not everybody has it. All right. And two, the grace of God enables man to fulfill the creative purpose of God, which is, it doesn't say this here, it is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. God created man to glorify himself and so that man could enjoy God. But they can't because they're alienated. All right? The grace of God allows man to fulfill that purpose. All right? And what is it about man? What are two important things about man? One, Imago Dei, he's made in the image of God. And two, Christ died for mankind. So man has value. So the Southern Baptist Faith and Message is saying, listen, every man is made in the image of God. Mankind's made in the image of God. Jesus died to redeem mankind. Therefore, every person of every race possesses full dignity, and they are worthy and respect of respect and Christian love. So even people who aren't Christians are worthy of respect and Christian love because they are made in the image of God. Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for them. So even though they're a part of the kingdom of darkness, we are ambassadors to them, making an appeal for our kingdom, for Jesus. And in doing that, we recognize their dignity, and we respect them, and we show them Christian love. Loving your enemies. Pray for them. Pray for them to be blessed. Pray for them to get saved. All right? And that applies to who? Every person of every race. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. But, you know, sang that in Sunday school. There should be no racism, not only within the church, but within the world. All right? It's sinful to be racist because every member of every race, and we're the human race, but when we're talking about, you know, white people, black people, can you still call Chinese people yellow? Asians, some of them are brown. I don't guess they're really that yellow. Whatever color you are, you're made in the image of God because God's not God's a spirit, right? It's not about what color God's skin is, God's spirit. I guess Jesus is, I don't know, what would a palatine, I guess he would be like a Caucasian kind of tan. I don't know. What did Jewish people look like in the Middle East 2,000 years ago? Out in the sun all day. But it's not about skin color. It's not about hair texture or whatever. Everybody's made in the image of God. Jesus died for white people, black people, red people, yellow people, whatever color you are, Jesus died for you. So that's the idea there about the inherent worth of people. Every person, by the way, there's no age discrimination here. Whether you're old, you're made in the image of God, or whether you're a little baby. How about this? Listen to me. Little babies in their mother's womb. The tiny little undeveloped zygote embryo babies. Made in the image of God. They are at the earliest point of maturity. You know, I haven't grown brains and hearts or whatever. Brains and hearts are not what make you in the image of God. Humanity is what makes you be in the image of God. You understand? Humanity. All right? And embryos are human. That's why we value life from conception to death as Christians. That's an implication, by the way, of what the Baptist Faith and Message said. It doesn't say anything about abortion right there or euthanasia of old people. But you're talking about Christian love. How do you abort somebody in Christian love? You can't. How do you recognize someone's full dignity and abort him? You can't. So when we look practically at the United States and see abortion clinics mainly in black neighborhoods and think everybody's killing all these black people through abortion, black babies are getting slaughtered in the womb. How's God look upon that? Not well. Not that he's okay with, you know, killing white babies in the womb either. But where we are is a nation that slaughters babies of one particular race in a giant ratio. Planned Parenthood doesn't think anybody's made in the image of God. Doesn't recognize anybody's dignity as made in the image of God. Especially not black people. So that wraps it up for Baptist Faith and Message Article 3. Man, this is a short show. I feel like I haven't hardly said anything. What are we, 24 minutes? I need to invent another bit, I guess. Driving with Miss Beth got me home yesterday. Maybe I'll invent, we'll see. I'll think about it to close out these shows that aren't very long. So I'm going to go drive through somewhere. I don't know where yet. I'm pulling on the Cartersville exit. So I'll go ahead and end the show. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow. As always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.